what chatter is. Nobody, 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 nobody. Swing, bada. That's chatter, kids. They want every kid to feel like he's just as good as the other kids. You know what that is? That's communism, my friend. Okay? Not everybody is as good as everybody else in everything. That's the lesson. If we stand up there and ban chatter, because we might hurt some kids' feelings, you gotta be kidding me.
Not superstitious, but I'm a little suspicious.
It's sports. All around the clock, sports all the time. That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work.
That's ridiculous.
Eric Dampier. It's Dampier because you're sweating on the bench.
What's next?
Chris Bosh was a Toronto Raptor, and he looks like a Raptor. If you look at the uniform of the Toronto Raptors, it is just Chris Bosh with the basketball.
The game is over! The Lakers have just pooped their big boy pants!
Pittsburgh's playoff berth, Peyton Manning in his prime. Even Peterson's daughter can't believe the Vikings anymore. And there are more winless teams than undefeated teams in the NFL. Turn it up because you have joined the chatter here with Tyler Kate, Andrew Duvall, and Luke Larson on Chatterbox Sports Talk. We got questions swirling in the NFC North, but it's not about either of Andrew's team or I. It is about
true.
Luke Larson's team, the Minnesota Vikings. We'll get to that later. But, Andrew, I have a quick question for you. Michigan coming off two close wins these past two weekends in college football. Is Devin Gardner as legitimate as you thought he was?
You know, I'm starting to doubt. He's definitely there talent-wise, and a lot of people are even calling for his head already. But the big thing with Devin Gardner is he throws so many interceptions. He has more interceptions than touchdowns. I think right now he's gotten 10 interceptions to 8 touchdowns. They haven't played anybody good. He played good in the Notre Dame game, but against Akron, against UConn, these weak teams, he did not play very well at all. But thank goodness we have a bye week. We have 2 weeks now to get ready to start Big Ten play against Minnesota, and hopefully we can figure some things out, because that's got to stop. And I think it's fixable. It's definitely something fixable. It's not, a weak arm, or it's just he's got to get there. It's decision making, and he's got to watch a little bit more film, get his head right. But I think he'll be fine.
We've got more college quarterback talk coming up later in the show. If you want to join the chatter, if you want to get in on Facebook and like our page, maybe throw in some comments. Follow us on Twitter. Tweet something fun at us. Let us know what you're thinking of the show. We are at @remnant_sports. Let us know what you think of the Vikings' chances at salvaging this season or plummeting for a top pick in the NFL draft in 2014. Now, for all the fantasy freaks out there, if you think you can hang with Chatterbox, we just picked up a W in
the second
week of Chatterbox versus the Fans. If you're not familiar, we here at Chatterbox, we'll pick a fan who tweets at us, #ChatterboxVersTheFans. We will pick a one-week fantasy football team, scores by touchdown and yards, and by the end of the week, whoever wins gets, if the fan wins, we give you a prize, something cool, lunch, who knows. Didn't happen this week. We picked up a W. We're 1-1. If you think you can hang, tweet at us, #ChatterboxVersTheFans. We've got a great show coming up with you. It's Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Seattle defense, Bears defense, college football, and Pittsburgh and the MLB, Detroit about to clinch a playoff berth. Andrew, we were talking before the show, and you brought up a great question, Seattle defense or
Denver's offense.
Denver's offense.
Yeah, Denver's
after Peyton Manning's good performance last night. I have a question. Does Seattle's defense or the Bears defense right now before we get into the debates?
You know, it's a good point. The Seattle defense is what everybody's talking about, but I think I'd almost prefer the Bears defense with the way that they force turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, you see it, I'm going to say 9 times out of 10. If Josh were here, he'd kill me. But 9 times out of 10, the team that wins the turnover battle wins the game. And the Bears are doing that. They're forcing a ton of turnovers. And the big thing, they're turning those turnovers into points. You know, these guys know how to intercept it, and they know how to run with it. They pick up that fumble,
Julius
and they go.
Julius
Peppers. It's Peanut Tillman. These guys, they're scoring touchdowns. And if you can score touchdowns on defense, it makes your offense run a lot smoother.
Yeah, and I'm going to say the word that Josh hates. They have a big momentum shift when they do that.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, they... Just by doing that causes so – it gives that spark to the other team or to your offense, and it really is a big down on the other team's offense. Just doing that is incredible. And I've heard it said that turnovers in the NFL, they're really infectious. Once you get one, you're going to get two, you're going to get three. Mm-hmm. These guys are very – they're very good at initiating that first – interception, first forced fumble. They're really good at that. And then they start seeking the ball. They seriously are ball hawks. Whereas I think the Seahawks defense, they're very good at just straight up shutting you down. They're just not giving you any chance at all. They can do that. Both of these defenses can do that because their offense is also able to bring them out of holes if they get into that. Because they're both playmaking defenses, and they both want to try and create the turnovers, but they know if they jump routes and they miss and the other team does well, they have the offense to support them in case something goes wrong.
Yeah, we've got more Seattle defense, more Denver offense, Chicago defense. We've got the most one-dimensional teams in the NFL, and we also have our studs and duds of fantasy football week three. So there's a more non-win teams in the NFL, like I said, to begin the show, than undefeated teams. We've got five undefeated teams in the NFL, one being the Chicago Bears in the NFC East, or NFC North, excuse me, and there's six winless teams. We're going to get later in the show who is the most surprising winless team, but before we get to that, who's your most surprising undefeated team right now? Andrew.
Undefeated team, it's hard not to go with Miami. You know, everybody kind of looked into that saying, you know, they got nobody on offense. You know, Mike Wallace and Ryan Tannehill, but everybody forgot about Tannehill. Everybody's talking Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick and Andrew Luck, and nobody's talking about Tannehill. They have a question mark with Lamar Miller at running back. Nobody's seen him yet. It's his rookie season. Defensively, that team's never been known for having a good defense, and a lot of new pieces in the defensive end as well, and they've won games this year against decent teams. They haven't played any. I mean, they beat Cleveland right away, but as we've seen, I wouldn't call Cleveland a scrub game. And Indianapolis, they went into Indianapolis and won. A lot of people are picking Indianapolis to win that that their division and even maybe push into the. And make a Super Bowl run, and then they play at home and beat the Falcons. You know, this team is, they've looked good. They played good teams. They've been able to win in close games, and Tannehill's played really well. Lamar Miller has been well. Tannehill's got a, like, 70% completion percentage with 827 yards. Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas, and then Brian Hartline actually leading that that receiving core. You know, it's a new year for Miami, and I don't really want to say this yet, but look out. You might see somebody not named the Patriots winning the AFC East.
Luke, are you surprised with Minnesota being 0-3 right now?
Yeah, I am a little bit surprised. I thought they'd do a little bit better than they were. After I saw them at Detroit, though, if someone would have told me they were 0-3, I would have said, yeah, that makes sense after that Detroit game. They just haven't started the season with the same kind of fire that they did last. And I think the big thing is Adrian Peterson isn't back. Like, the reason why we overperformed last year was because Adrian was he was coming off that surgery. He was able to kind of bring the team a spark to try and get better. And they all saw him back and saw that as some kind of, like, a inspiration for them to play better. He was the leader in that sense. But now that he's back and we expected him back, our team really isn't trying to be any better because it's just normal. It's business as usual. There's no spark, really.
What about the undefeated teams, Luke? Do you see anybody that jumps out at you like, wow, I'm surprised they're 3-0 right now?
There's two teams I think I'm kind of surprised at, but a lot of people will hash me for this, or they'll attack me at this, but I think New Orleans and New England, they're both surprises for me, because going into this, like, New Orleans at this time were 0-3 last year. And the fact that they were able to they ended 6-10, and for them to bounce back with any semblance of a team, just by getting their head coach, drafting some safety, I think they drafted, they're able to come back and be strong, and their coach really helped them push that. And then New England, because going into it, a lot of people were very down on New England, saying, how is Tom Brady going to do this well? And their number two back, running back, got hurt. So now, like, they can't really rely on the switching off and being as strong as it once was. So I think I'm really surprised by that. In terms of Miami, they're a big surprise, but I want to see how they do against adversity. Let's see them lose a game, and then let's see how they do after that.
Sure, sure. I think when you bring up New England, that was my biggest point coming into the season. I thought they were going to be all right coming into the season. I didn't think they were going to have the passing attack with the tight end threat that New England always has. They set up two tight ends on each side, and they let him stream down the field. Hernandez obviously out. Gronk is out with injury. And then when you start the season and you have Amendola, who is supposed to be the fill for Wes Welker, he's out. Shane Vereen, running back, out. What are you going to do then in New England? And then Tom Brady's facing adversity. He couldn't throw the ball for two games there. Now they're 3-0, and they're not... Like, people are overlooking them already. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know what? They got by a couple games. Tom Brady isn't as relevant as he usually is. He doesn't have the passing attack. I'm telling you, they get by a couple games here. They get Gronk healthy. They get Amendola. They get Vereen back. And then their defense start really rallying around. I could see New England making a big push and surprising a lot of teams who think, oh, okay, New England's not the dynasty anymore. They know how to win. They've known how to win in the past. They get those injuries done with. Boom, their team. But the team I really like is Indy. I love the Andrew Luck era right now. I think the game, the 49ers game, I'll take my glory right now because I called that game. I called Indy over the 49ers. But I think Andrew Luck is settling down in his role right now, and he's fitting the mold as filling in for Peyton Manning. Obviously, Peyton's in Denver doing his thing, you know, as the top quarterback in the league right now. But when you go into Candlestick Stadium and you beat the 49ers defense, Andrew Luck, I'm just surprised by that. And the thing that I like, too, is Trent Richardson didn't have a great game, didn't have a terrible game, but it was Ahmad, the Bradshaw that had a great game. He was just stellar. And that got me thinking, Indy's going to have a three running back offense.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Richardson, Bradshaw, and Ballard.
It'll look similar to Denver's running game with Noshon Moreno, Monty Ball, and Ronnie Hillman. Mm-hmm. Who did you saw the one-yard touchdown run by Hillman last night? I read somewhere the day that they actually, because I think they called a timeout or something like that right before the play, and they actually played rock, paper, scissors on the sideline to see who got the carry. For the one-yard touchdown.
I think Denver does it out of desperation. I think none of their running backs are... I think Indianapolis has three running backs who are all good and can all do what they do, and they could probably get away with maybe having one of those guys being a one guy. I think Peyton, the Broncos, are kind of like, we need three of them. We don't have enough to go with this.
You don't think Denver's running game is efficient?
I think it's efficient, but I think it's efficient because they have three guys. I think Indianapolis could get away with losing one or maybe even two of those guys and still get away with a running game that's pretty efficient.
Well, if you read into the tabloids, Noshon Moreno is upset with the situation. He's a stellar running back. He's behind Hillman right now. And I could pick three different teams and even just the AFC that would pick up Noshon Moreno.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that there's the situation that they have, they're one of those lucky teams to say, hey, we could put in Moreno, or we could put in Hillman. That one of them's going to be frustrated by not getting the carries, but at the end of the season, when they're, you know, undefeated, knock on wood, they're all going to say, hey, we all put in this effort. You know, when you have a quarterback like Peyton Manning, Wes Welker, Thomas as a tight end, and then you have three running backs that you can choose from, that offense is insane. It's just, it's nutty. And we're going to get to that later. We're going to talk a lot about this Broncos offense. Peyton Manning, do you think his performance is done after this year? You think this is, you know, kind of his get his Super Bowl and then head on out? or maybe the take's half full. We'll see. We've got a lot of that coming up, though. Chatterbox versus the Fan recap after this quick break here on Chatterbox Sports Talk.
Hey, this is Kevin Lux.
And we're back here on Chatterbox Sports Talk. I'm Tyler with Duvall and Luke Larson, the rookie. He's even got his rookie shirt on.
Yep.
Got to keep calling him out until he's been in here a while. Then maybe he'll be on the not rookie level with us veterans in the studio. We've got Chatterbox versus the Fan recap for you. We want a big drum roll, everybody, because last week we were upset in the first round of Chatterbox versus the Fan, which is a fantasy football draft where we here in the studio pick a random fan to challenge us in fantasy football. Last week we lost.
Yep.
This week we picked up a big W. Andrew, spit the stats for me.
I'd like to give a big round of applause to Mr. Peyton Manning, 342 yards and 3 touchdowns that led our team to victory. Marshawn Lynch, our running back, didn't do much, but Jimmy Graham got us 2 touchdowns, and then my boy Megatron picked up another one. On the other end, he had Drew Brees that had 3, and he also had LeSean McCoy that got him a touchdown. But we ended up winning in a mostly touchdown league 6-4, and we beat yards, so 7-4. And an absolute domination this week in Chatterbox versus the Fans.
Yeah, so if you guys would like to join us in a little friendly competition on the fantasy football realm of things, get on Twitter, put out a hashtag Chatterbox versus the Fans, and there are so many competitive tweeters out there that are tweeting it, so do this fast and you may get picked. Thursday we will draft in the 4 to 6 p.m. show. Now, you mentioned our stud was Peyton Manning, who we drafted first. And I brought up the question before the break. Is Peyton Manning done after this year if he wins a Super Bowl?
Absolutely not.
You don't
either
think
way,
so?
Absolutely not. I don't think he's ready to be done. I mean, you watch him play, he's on top of his game right now. He's playing better than he ever has. He's the best in the league. Mm-hmm. He's setting records right now. I mean, why quit? You're the best in the league.
The other thing is, he doesn't strike me as a guy who is out for his own kind of self-interest. I mean, he left Indianapolis, but that was because they were getting a guy who was ready to go, ready to be in. They were starting their new regime. I think he'll stick around until Denver might draft a quarterback this year, try and get someone underneath Peyton. I think that would be the smartest thing for Denver to do. Draft a guy, get him underneath, get him to learn from the best, you know, and get him up. And then, so maybe not this next year if he wins a Super Bowl, even if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, but maybe 2 or 3 years down the line, I could see that. Maybe the next year after that, he might be done.
Something that stands out to me when I look at Peyton Manning is after Denver destroyed the Giants in the Manning Bowl, Peyton said in an interview, I think it was on Fox Sports, that they asked him, you know, do you like the Manning Bowl? Do you enjoy playing your brother? Will you do this in the future? He said, I hope I never have to do it again. I don't like doing it. I don't like competing against my brother. And I think Peyton's a competitive guy, but he's kind of got that Southern boy, just old style, like, hey, mm-hmm. I don't need to compete against my, I don't need to make it a big show. I know he's good. I know I'm good. I don't want to go out there and beat up on my brother. I did that, you know, when we were growing up. And that's why I think if Peyton gets this Super Bowl, he there's really nowhere else to go for him. Like, he's a great player. Phenomenal quarterback and has done great things. He had 14 great seasons in Indy. He's doing big things for the Mile High City. But if he gets a Super Bowl, I think that's where he hangs the cleats up and, you know, he sits back, he watches his brother play, and he maybe does what John Elway does. He picks up, his ownership in Indy. Maybe he goes back. I mean, Indy loves him. He could do something with Andrew Luck.
I think, I mean, something like that. I could actually see Manning doing something in TV, because that guy, he's hilarious.
Oh, he's so marketable.
He's so funny in every commercial, and he's genius when it comes to that. So I would not be surprised to see that. Or, you know, he's a brilliant football mind. You know, see him in a front box or somewhere.
And he practically ran the Colts offense.
Oh, absolutely.
For give or take 7 years when he was
there.
Oh, yeah.
The offensive coordinator, even now for the Broncos, back then for the Colts, It's more. He's more of a suggestion. Like he's like,
no,
you know,
that's a good way to put it.
Says, here's three plays we can run in these situations. You pick from the three.
Yeah, and then Manning goes up there, stands back, looks at the defense, and says, "Well, that was a good idea, but I think this one's better," mm-hmm. and then does it.
If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, which I think is plausible, I mean, there's
a lot of tough
a handful of tough teams that I think could beat the Broncos.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm wondering though. I think he comes back if he doesn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree.
He's the kind of guy that says, "Hey, I'm playing well. I didn't get to the top of you know the NFL this year. My mm-hmm. or my team didn't. He's maybe the best quarterback in the NFL. I think he comes back if he doesn't win a Super Bowl."
Yeah, watch for him though, because Denver's left tackle is not playing well. It didn't even look good last night against Oakland. You don't want to say this, you know, knock on wood, but watch out. He's going to get banged up this year. That offensive line is not giving him much time to throw. And he's still playing, he's playing great, but we'll see. Those hits take a toll, especially when you're 37 like Peyton mm-hmm. Manning is. And I think that might, we'll see.
If you were on Twitter last night during the Monday night game, you might have saw tweets that said, Peyton Manning's on pace to do this. Peyton Manning's on pace to do this. What do you think? What do you think he's on pace to set the records? Because I look at his 2004 season with Indy, where he put up 49 touchdowns and he had a quarterback rating of 121. And right now he's got 12 TDs. His quarterback rating is 134.7. Do you think he gets by the end of the season? What do you think his numbers look like?
It's hard to say that they're not gonna be right up there matching his 2004 campaign. He's got a great wide receiver core. I'm looking at Denver's remaining schedule, and it's mm-hmm. pretty easy. Jacksonville, Dallas, Washington. They play New England, Tennessee. They're playing teams that have gotten torched in the passing game this year, and mm-hmm. you know it's hard to say that he's not gonna put up similar numbers, and the thing is, he's got probably the second best wide receiver core with Welker and Decker and Thomas and other Thomas, Julius Thomas, and he's got three good running backs. Moreno's probably the best pass blocking running back in the league. Mm-hmm. He's got a ton of weapons. It'd be hard to argue that he wouldn't keep this up for the whole season if he stays healthy.
I could see him by the end of the season, and I believe in putting bad luck out there. I don't want to jinx you, Peyton, but I could see him going 50-plus TDs, having somewhere around 100 QB rating.
Absolutely.
Especially with, like you said, the schedule that he's got coming up, the defense that he's going to play. I don't see a defense that can even come close to handling this Broncos offense until maybe mid-November when they've got the Chiefs, mm-hmm. and then they've got the Patriots, and they've had the Chiefs again. But then until you have December 22nd, they've got the Texans,
yeah.
I cannot pick out a defense that can handle the Broncos' offense.
No, and San Diego, I looked up, because I'm like, I have Colin Kaepernick on my fantasy team, and he's not doing well, so I'm thinking about making a change at quarterback. And Tony Romo's taking on San Diego, so I looked up San Diego's defense. They've allowed 20-plus points to fantasy quarterbacks over the last three games. San Diego's defense is not able to stop anything, and let alone Peyton Manning coming in with his amazing wide receiver talent. This is going to be a really great season for him. I'd love to be in Denver right now. That would be so great.
Yeah. And I think the thing that Manning's got going for him, I mean, other than being an amazing quarterback, is that the defense in Denver is good. It's not phenomenal.
Not great.
And if you're Peyton Manning, you're expecting to be on the field after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You get a 10-minute rest. You don't want to give a genius football mind like Peyton Manning 10 minutes to sit on the sideline and sit there and talk to his offensive coordinator
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, in Peyton's southern voice, "Well, I think this is what we should do here. We should pick up this." And
doesn't have enough time to order a Papa John's pizza and hang out on the sideline
and watch football on his phone
exactly.
and do all those things. But no, I think Peyton Manning is going to go off this season. Watch out for October 20th, though. He heads back to Indy and faces Andrew Luck.
Say Indy wins that game. I'm going to say it right now.
Indy over Denver. You heard it here first on Chatterbox.
Indy
the
wins
ball
that game.
Indy beats the the Broncos.
Why?
October 20th.
I really like Indy. I think they got a great team. They look so good right now.
Let's hear. What about this comparison? Indy's offense and Denver's offense.
You got three
solid running backs. Vic Ballard, when he's healthy, he's up there with one of the best run blocking running backs, along with Knowshon Moreno for the Broncos. You've got the receiving core in Indy, which is a little more, I don't want to say washed up, but Reggie Wayne is getting up there in age.
No, the receiving core is not washed up. Past Reggie Wayne, it's so young. Hayward Bay, T.Y. Hilton.
But I'm saying the core of it's Reggie Wayne, and he catches the ball and he fumbles it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you think Hayward Bay is as good as Eric Decker?
I would say so.
He has
really?
The potential.
Yeah, I would say he's just as good as Eric Decker. I wouldn't put him up there with Welker or Demaryius Thomas, but as a number two, number three, like Decker is, yeah, he's just as good. Same with T.Y. Hilton. And I think Indy's got a very underrated defense. Freeman at inside linebacker is so good. Laron Landry and Bethea in the secondary. They've got good cornerbacks that can match up very well against Denver's wide receivers. I'm not saying they're going to shut them down, because I don't think you can completely shut out a team that plays Peyton Manning, but I mean, this defense so far this year has forced four interceptions in three games there in Indianapolis, and it's a good team. They rank number 11th overall, only allowing 212 passing yards so far, and 26 with 129 rushing yards. I mean, I think they've got a little bit better defense than Denver, and I think Andrew Luck has something to prove, that he's, you know, wants to be just as good as Manning, and I think they're going to win that game.
I think that will be an exciting game there in Lucas Oil Stadium on October 20th. Look for the Colts beating the Denver Broncos, possibly for Denver's first loss of the season. We have a lot coming up for you, so stick around, buckle up. After this, we've got our... Duds and Duds from Week 3 of Fantasy Football. We've got some MLB talk for all you Pittsburgh Pirates fans and even the few Detroit fans that may be sticking around listening to Andrew rant on about
We lost to the Twins last night.
But we'll be back after this quick break. And don't forget, later on this show, tweet us some questions about this Minnesota, Tank for Teddy. And, you know, Bail for Manziel. Who do you want if you're Minnesota in the draft? We've got that coming up later on Chatterbox Sports Talk.
Minnesota Timberwolves. Rubio splits the defense. Good ball movement. Thrown down by Derek Williams. The rise and shine rookie pounds it.
You listen to Chatterbox Sports Talk.